Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Riverfront. This is episode number 459 of the World's Most Dangerous Podcast, where we discuss the Cincinnati Reds and occasionally Willie Green. I'm your host, Chad Dotson. With me this week, my guy, Nate Dotson. How are you, Nate?
Chad, if I were any better, I would probably be a Mets fan, but I'm not a Mets fan, and I'm still doing really, really well. Thanks for asking. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Screw Steve Cohen. Screw the Mets. I don't care what they do. We're Reds fans and proud of it. And that's what we're going to talk about this week. Before we go further, if you're watching on YouTube, hit that like button and smash the subscribe button. If you're listening to the audio version, subscribe, follow, whatever it has on your app that you listen to us, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, we're there. Just give us a subscription and you know, you get to hear us talk to you every week.
What's better than that?
Well, I'm not going to answer that question. I'm going to plead the fifth, as a constitutional law professor might say. So here's what I'm going to talk about, though. I literally just said we'll talk to you every week. And last week, we had two podcasts in your feed, neither of which were us talking to you last week, I got to admit. Our last episode, which I thought it was holiday week, so we thought we'd rerun one of my favorite conversations, and it was Chris Garber and I. It was actually previously a long time ago, almost 2 years ago now, but it was our discussion of kind of day by day. It was for the as a Patreon exclusive podcast back in the day. And I guess I made it not exclusive, but there's some sort of a statute of limitations there, I think. But we went day by day with the 1990 Reds and got some great feedback on it. Thanks to all of you for that. Go back and listen if you get a chance to. It was a lot of fun. And then last week, I guess I wasn't going to lead off with this, but we also, I might as well go ahead and say it. We replayed an interview that we did with Tom Browning, Mr. Perfect, back in, it was actually 2009 when he came on the podcast. If you can believe we've been doing this podcast that long, 2009, it was a really good interview, kind of talking about his career and things. And just, you know, I wanted to, off the top here, very quickly say, rest in peace, Tom Browning, the old left-hander. I tell you, one of my favorite players of all time, involved in some of my favorite moments as a Reds fan growing up. And so, tip of the cap to Mr. Perfect. Any quick thoughts, Nate?
Not too much. Just that you know, I don't have a ton of memories of Tom Browning. It was when I was pretty young when he was still playing. But the impact he had on him and his family, on the community, he seemed like he always prioritized things that should be most important. Baseball was a fun game he played, and he had a lot of fun doing it. But family and friends and good times were always seemed paramount to him. And I think we can all take a little something from that.
Yeah, I'm going to tell a story here very quickly. I agree with you 100%, obviously, but quickly about one of my primary memory of Tom Browning that I don't think I've ever said here. And it's because it's not really a memory of Tom Browning. But every time he came up over the years, I would always call him my man TB. And you could probably go back in the archives of the podcast and hear me call him my man TB several times. What that came from was in the 1990 playoffs, will show you, kids of a certain vintage will understand this, but I used an audio cassette recorder and I recorded the post game shows after their post game wins onto audio cassettes. Those cassettes are probably somewhere still available. But I remember after they won the National League Championship Series over the Pirates in 1990, I remember distinctly the old left-hander, Joe Nuxall, going into the clubhouse, and the first person he runs into is Tom Browning, and they're all celebrating and screaming. And Joe Nuxall sounds like he's already had, you know, a few celebratory drinks, but he's like, TB, my man, TB. And they were so happy. And I don't know. I was so happy because the Reds were in the World Series for the first time in my memory. So anyway, that's what I always think of when I think about Tom Browning. And so again, tip of the cap, and he will be missed. Let's get into, some news of the week. There was a little bit of news, some transactions.
There was real news.
Right. And we don't need to take that for granted because most of this offseason has been crickets on the transaction front. Let's talk about the first big one, I guess. Big for the Reds, anyway. The Reds signed Will Myers for 2023 with a 2024 option. The deal reportedly is for $6 million for 2023, with a $1.5 million buyout on the 2024 option. So there's essentially, I think it's a player option, but it could be So Meyer's going to get at least $7.5 million. Will Myers, of course, will be 32 coming off a long stint, 7 years in San Diego. He, of course, came up with the Tampa Bay Rays, won Rookie of the Year back in 2013. He'll be 32. Still a hitter. You know, I mean, he's not a superstar hitter, an above average hitter, certainly. And he immediately becomes the Reds' best outfielder, I think. What are your thoughts about Will Myers, Nate?
He's good. He is good at playing baseball. The Reds don't have a ton of these guys. Regular listeners will know that I've been sort of clamoring for a while for the Reds to kind of just get professional hitters. And he's not quite where, you know, not quite who I'm talking about when I say that. But he's a good ball player. He is going to be a strong veteran presence. His 108 OPS plus last year would have been fourth on the team. So the Reds got better. I have no complaint. Actually, the only complaint I have is that it's just that one-year deal with a mutual option for the second. So essentially, it's a one-year deal. If he has a great year, he's probably going to opt out. I wish they would have done it for two or three, because he just seems like the kind of guy that's going to be above average as long as he's in the league. And I think that's what the Reds need right now. So I'm a huge fan. It's not going to move the needle. The Reds are not going to win, you know, 90 games because of this. But quality professional at bats, I can't complain a bit.
Right, marginally above average player, but he has been an above average hitter his entire career. He does move the needle a little bit just for the Reds, because again, he'll probably back up at first base, but he becomes the best outfielder the Reds have right now, which is a really sad statement. But it's not like he's bad. He's a good player. I'm happy to have him. My thoughts though initially were, first of all, these are the only types of transactions that we're going to get for the foreseeable future, which is a guy who, well, here's his quote about Cincinnati. "I think it goes without saying that Cincinnati is a great place to hit," said Myers on Thursday afternoon. "Not only that, I like the city a lot. I've enjoyed my time there. Obviously, yes, the ballpark itself is a nice draw. It's a place I was really looking at starting in free agency." So hey, what he's telling you is exactly what we all know, which is I'm going to come there, hit the cover off the ball, and, you know, it'd be the Brandon Drury project or the Tommy Pham project. I saw the Brandon Drury project actually in 1998 at Bonnaroo. They were really, really good. But it's a situation where we sign some guy to help him build some value and trade him off. The best case scenario for the Reds, frankly, is that he's gone in July. And I hate this type of signing. Not because I don't like Will Myers. I'm happy to have Will Myers, but I want guys coming here because they're going to be part of the next good Reds team. And I don't like where we are in this this cycle, I guess, that the Reds think we have to be in. But don't get too attached to him, I guess, is what I would say, because he's probably going to be gone soon if he's any good at all. And if he's not good at all, you're going to wish he wasn't here. But I expect he is going to be pretty good, and I'm going to enjoy watching him play. And, again, I like above-average players in the Reds lineup as opposed to below-average players. So, hoorah!
Hey, the San Diego fans love him. He's a bit of a personality, which is fun. And if you want to look for some sort of argument that they might not trade him, I think they have to pay him like $500,000 if they do.
That's true. That was a clause in the contract. If he's traded $500,000, is that going to pay somebody? Well, it depends on, you know what, it depends on whether they're going to be willing to make that payment. But yeah, what kind of a haul? What kind of a haul are they going to get for Will Myers? So Nick Carl's good at getting a haul. So that was good news, and I wouldn't call that surprising news. That's the type of player that I expected the Reds would be going out to get. I didn't expect that name. I didn't predict Will Myers. But the next transaction to discuss was a shock to me, and it was a shock in a good way, pleasantly surprising move is how I would describe it if I knew how to use the English language. And that was the Reds designated Mike Moustakas for assignment. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised were you that the Reds did this? Because I'm like a 9.
Yeah, I would say 8.5, 9, solely because I thought they would at least trot him out there for spring training to see if they could get a little return on that investment. That alone. I mean, I'm thrilled. Thrilled, but yeah, surprised.
Well, this is not something the Reds do. And so let me say this, because again, as I put it on Twitter, put this in the credit where credit's due department. This is objectively the correct move. Nick Kroll, once again, we're praising you. This is objectively the right move. And also whoever above him signed off on this, because this has just not been the way Castling ever operated. So whoever said, yeah, we're going to have to pay. It's the concept that we talk about all the time here of sunk costs. And we're going to have to pay them either way, period, point blank. And so the fact that they did it and, you know, gave up that money on, and not trying to get any return, as you say, I think it's very good and very encouraging, I guess I'll say.
Yeah, I love it. It's crazy that the payroll is going to be like $85 million or something, and 23 of it is not even playing for the team, getting DFA'd. But I don't know, man. The guy, it was a good try when they signed him. I was happy for sure. But I think he goes down as, if not the worst contract in Reds history, one of the top two or three. Eric Milton might be looking down saying, hey, my time to shine is over. The guy hit like Billy Hamilton and moved like Sean Casey, and he did not wear that uniform. It was, I'm not going to look back fondly on the Mike Moustakas era.
No. And I was like you. I thought it was a good signing when they did it, and you can go back in the archives and hear what I said about it. I was positive with it. I thought it was a good deal. Not because Moustakas was great, you know, but he was good. He was kind of like we just said about Will Myers. In the five years before coming to Cincinnati, he had a 114 OPS plus. So solidly above average bat, right? And that's, bring it on. I'll take that. Three seasons with the Reds, 216 average, 300 on base, 383 slugging, OPS plus of just 80. I can't imagine some team claiming him. But someone will take a flyer on Mike Moustakas, because really all they have to do is pay him, if I understand the rules correctly, and I rarely do. They just have to pay him the league minimum. The Reds are still on the hook for everything else if someone else takes a flyer on him. But either way, he's, you know, 48 years old now. More power to him. I think he, you know, as we always say, he's not going to go down in lore as a Reds fan favorite, but it wasn't like he was trying to be bad, you know. So we wish him the best of luck. I'm just really glad I don't have to look at him in a Reds uniform anymore.
Yeah, I kind of want to congratulate him. People always talk about maybe a bullpen catcher being the best job you can have, make a few hundred K to catch bullpens. No, Mike Moustakas has the best job you can have. You could get paid $20 million to do nothing.
Well, now, okay, that's a funny thing, but it's not actually true, because he got abused by fans sometimes, and I'm sure he was hard on himself. So if he didn't care, then yeah, I guess maybe it would be a good job. But you know, the other transaction that same day that we want to talk about is another old friend returning to Cincinnati. The Reds, you know, the Reds signed the guy whose name, good grief, it just escaped me. The backup catcher we thought from Luke Mayo, that we thought was going to be, oh, there's your backup catcher, you know, $1.5 million. The Reds went out and got Kurt Casale, former Red and a fan favorite when he was in Cincinnati. Signed Kurt Casale for 2023. It's a $2.5 million contract with an option for 2024 that would include a $750,000 buyout if the option's not picked up. So Kurt Casale, you know, played three seasons with the Reds, 2.5, 2018 to 2020, and, you know, was pretty good in Cincinnati. 260 average, 345 on base, 440 slugging, really good kind of with Tucker Barnhart, really good catching duo. Everyone likes Kurt Casale. I think pitchers like him. Yay, right?
It's definitely a yay. Welcome back, Kurt. You know, some quotes that I read about Kurt Casale after the signing went down: perfectly serviceable, not a liability. Those are good things. We like both of those. He had an 86 OPS plus last year. He's never really had a full-time job, but that OPS plus is pretty much what Tommy Pham did, and he's a backup catcher. It's above average for a catcher. So, you know, his career weighted runs created plus is roughly average, strong defender. He's above average at framing, apparently, which is just a practice that I hate. I am firmly against framing, but until it's banned, which they should ban you for trying to trick old men. Until they do, whatever. I'm glad he's good at it. He provides lineup flexibility, which is probably my favorite part of all this, because his bat is not a huge negative. You know, he can DH. They can DH Tyler Stevenson. I think it allows Ty Steve to be in the lineup 6+ days a week. And if he's not, then I'll pull somebody else's hair out because I don't have any.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's not going to be he's not going to kill the ball. He's not, he's a veteran to work with these young pitchers, a veteran catcher. He clearly likes Cincinnati. The fans liked him. No issues with this. You know, no, again, does he move the needle? No, none of these guys are going to move the needle for this team, but he's perfectly cromulent and I'm happy to have him. And
very, very strong jawline, according to his Baseball Reference photo. I think that bodes well, but I'm not a scientist.
Strong jawline, handsome man. Welcome back. With Casale's contract now, the Reds' payroll roughly $83 million.
Whoo, man!
Nick Kroll said
out there in the streets.
Nick Kroll said we'd have to get creative if we're to put any more money on that payroll. Oh, they're maxed out. Oh man! But one thing I want to talk about here quickly is the Reds actually signed someone else, a couple of others, but the one that I want to talk about first is Austin Romine. Austin Romine, of course, came over. He was released by the Cardinals. The Reds picked him up last year, midway through the season, and he was, again, just a backup catcher. He was not great, but he was another backup catcher. And the Reds signed him to a minor league deal and invited him to spring training. And so the reason I want to mention Austin Romine, welcome back, I guess. Hey, you know, he's organizational filler, but Nick Kroll has signed 3 backup catchers this year. This is proof that Nick Kroll can be taught. He can learn because last season, if you recall, he went into the season with 0 backup catchers in the entire organization, all the way down to rookie league. Nick Kroll forgot to sign a backup catcher last year. He won't make that mistake again. We've got 4 catchers now. We've got 18 shortstops. We're on the path to Nick Kroll having a lineup of all catchers and shortstops, and I'm here for it because if you're not going to be good, at least be interesting. That's my motto for the 2023 season.
2 most important positions on the field, some would say. Let's not dance on the rooftops about throwing parades for Austin Romine. He hasn't had an OPS in the 6s since 2019, but I don't know. He seems to have a good reputation behind the dish, and we have a lot of young pitchers that need that kind of presence back there. So I'm not mad about it.
No, yeah. He's perfectly fine to come up. He'll be a AAA, no doubt, to start. And I like having and this is something that our buddy Carlos Guevara said once on the mm-hmm. show here when he visited us, which is that what he really wants to see is a veteran back there. The backup catcher's not going to hit. You can't expect the backup catcher anywhere to hit. But get somebody that can handle the pitching staff, can help bring along these young starters the Reds have. And so now with Casale and Romine, you've got a couple of those. I don't care if they can hit, frankly.
No, I mean, that's why they're backups. If they could hit, they wouldn't be backups. Simple
exactly.
As that. So if they are backups, expect them not to hit. And it's a good signing. But there was one more.
Oh, this is the most exciting. Man, what a week for transactions. Man, this has just been
hot out there.
It's been amazing. Nate, on a scale, again, we're going on a scale of 1 to 10. How excited are you that the Reds signed relief pitcher Alan Busenitz? Busenitz. Busenitz.
I thought it was Gary Busenitz.
Gary Musinex.
He was great in the Cinematic Masterpiece Rookie of the Year.
Exactly.
I don't know, man. That was a minor league deal with an invite to spring training. So yeah. We might not hear his name again, but he's been in Japan, which is fun. I don't know if there's any good sushi or ramen in Cincinnati. If there are, somebody hit him up in the DMs. Apparently, he's good at keeping the ball in the park, which plays well at Great American Ballpark. I don't know. Looking for reasons to care. I hope he is lights out and the anchor of the bullpen, but I don't expect to be seeking out his baseball card.
Yeah, rookie year 2017 with the Twins, 1.99 ERA in 28 games. And then in 23 games the following season, 7.82 ERA. So just got somewhere in the middle of that. That's all we're asking for. Gary Busey Musinex, whatever your name is. Welcome to Cincinnati. Oh, mercy. All right, there's only one other thing that I think I want to talk to before we get into our topic of the week, Nate. And that is this. ESPN this week made a bold prediction. The prediction, well, they basically had their power rankings. They had the Reds ranked as the 30th ranked team. Nate, how many teams are there in Major League Baseball?
Hopefully like 180.
You would hope. Unfortunately, it is 30. Oh. They had the Reds ranked at 30 and projected that the Reds would win 60 games, Nate. Now, if you're able to do a little bit of basic arithmetic, you would know that 60 games, if the Reds won 60 games, they would have lost 102 for the second consecutive 100-loss season. I'll let you talk about the projection there a little bit if you want from ESPN's Bradford Doolittle. Not a real person. No way that's a real person. Bradford Doolittle. But first, let's ask a viewer mail question here. This comes from our buddy. All these viewer mail questions, as always, come from our friends at patreon.com/riverfrontcincy. That's patreon.com/riverfrontcincy, where you too can support the world's most dangerous podcast. Kyle Kapler, there seems to be a belief, especially on Twitter, that the Reds will be just as bad this upcoming season as they were last season. I don't think this for many reasons. Agree or disagree? So, Nate, I'll just turn it over to you to talk about whatever you want to say about the projection and then about Kyle's question, because I do have an answer for that.
It seems kind of rude to project any team to only win 60 games. I mean, these are human beings out there in those uniforms. It's kind of just a dirtbag move. I would take the over. Give me the over on that all day long. I don't see them being worse this season with the abysmal injury luck that they had last year. The starting pitching is going to be pretty good, probably. Sure, it would be better with Castillo and Mally for a full season, but we don't have that. I mean, God willing, a healthy Tyler Stevenson year, healthy Joey Votto year, India with somewhat of a bounce back. I don't see them being worse than they were this past year. I think we're going to get big things from Christian Encarnacion Strand, who is my new favorite player, and a decent Spencer Seery. It just seems like a better team to me. I don't know. Call me crazy.
Don't put it on the tee for me like that, Nate. You're completely insane. At the risk of agreeing with Kyle Kapler, and I just got to say, never agree with Kyle Kapler. That's basically been one of my rules in life dating back to middle school. I just decided early on I was never going to agree with Kyle Kapler. And Kyle is just now, he's immediately deleting his Patreon account as we say this. No, Kyle, you're right, actually. Obviously, I'm joking around with you. Kyle's right. Look, the Reds are bad. They were really bad last year, and they lost 100 games. They are going to be bad this year, period. And everyone has had fun on our Patreon Slack channel with coming up with designs for my tattoo that I promised I'd get if they lost. What do we say? 102 games? What do we say? What was that? 102 games? Was that the bet? Mm-hmm. If the Reds lose 102, that I have to get a tattoo. And they've been some amusing options presented in the Slack channel. So join us if you want to come join that conversation. But Kyle's right. I really don't. A lot of things have to go wrong to lose 100 games. Think how many times the Reds have lost 100 games. You know, not very many.
Those things went wrong last year.
Everything went wrong. Now, are the Reds worse? Well, if you want to make an argument that they're going to be significantly worse, you'd say, well, we're not going to have a half a season of Brandon Drury and I don't know, Tommy Pham and, Luis Castillo, you know. Okay, I get it. But, Hunter Green, Nick Lodolo are going to be better. Graham Ashcraft, presumably. You're going to have Tyler Stevens. Are all these guys going to get hurt again? That's the other thing that happened, which is that everybody got hurt. That's not – it may happen again, but I wouldn't bet the ranch on it. I can't see everything going wrong again. And I think there are reasons for optimism with some kids here. Now, I'm not telling you that they're going to be a winning team. I'm not saying that. But if I had to bet the over-under on 100 losses, or let's say 99 losses over-under, I'm taking the under on that. I don't think it's going to happen. I think everything have to go wrong again. And I think Kyle's right.
Run to the new casino, place your bets on that over. I mean, you got to think about it. So they started 3-22. That the chances of that happening again, first off, right, with their full roster is slim to none. They got so much worse after they traded everybody away, and they had to plug these holes with roster fodder, just barely even major league worthy players. That's not going to happen. They don't have players to trade this year. I mean, last year they had Tommy Pham and Brandon Drury and Luis Castillo and Tyler Mallett. Who are they going to trade this year? They have young, controllable assets and Will Myers. And we haven't signed
the 2023 Reds. Young, controllable assets and Will Myers. Buy your season tickets now.
So they're not going to lose 102 games. I don't think they're going to lose 100 games. Don't get me wrong. It would not blow my mind if we're here in late September and they have lost 102 games. But I would put, I'd put my mortgage down on that over. And I don't know. I had a moment yesterday where I was talking myself, as the offseason spring training is approaching, I was talking myself into every year there's a team that comes out of nowhere and competes. Could it be the Reds? So I'm going to carry that mindset into this offseason.
Yeah, and that's a point that I wanted to make, actually, is that, yes, the next 3 months are the time when traditionally, and again, I keep saying go back to the archives, but we've been going since 2007 here. We're episode number 459. There's a lot of archives. You could go back and listen to preseason podcasts, and you could hear that optimism creep in, and maybe it's a coping mechanism to dealing with this organization. But this argument, so to speak, that the Reds aren't going to lose 100 games, it's not just starry-eyed optimism. And the fact that we're saying, you know, optimism over not losing 100 games is embarrassing, but that's where we are. No, I think I don't think it's me just trying to be optimistic for the coming years. Talking about whether can they sneak in like you're talking about and be that surprise team, I'm not willing to go there. They're going to be bad. But I don't see it. How many bad teams have we seen in Cincinnati over the last three decades? And one has lost 100 games. And that was a team that had to have this historically bad start to get there. I don't see it happening. Kyle, for once, you're correct. Now, how many games are the Reds going to win? Well, save that for your preseason prediction podcast.
It's coming.
All right.
Crunching the numbers. I've got Facebook's algorithm hard at work.
There you go. You and Bradford Doolittle. Bradford Doolittle.
Who's going to be pitching for the Reds at some point this season?
It sounds like a guy. There was a Doolittle pitch for the Reds that we are not going to mock on this show.
Go Hoos.
Thank you. Nate, are you ready for the topic of the week?
Let's go. I'm excited about this one.
This is a good one, and I had a lot of fun thinking, coming up with our answers. And Nate, you want to introduce the topic of the week?
Yeah. So obviously this is coming out on Friday. It'll be New Year's Eve, if I'm not mistaken. I am not Nostradamus, so don't judge me on this. But we wanted to throw out some New Year's Reds solutions. So just some things as Reds fans, as Willy Mopena bobblehead owners.
If you're watching on Twitter, there is a Willy Mopena bobblehead on the screen. Sorry, Nate, didn't mean to distract you.
We spent the year reflecting on how we behaved as Reds fans, and some of it we're pretty proud of. We did a lot of good things. A lot of it, you know, not going to tell my mom about. So we wanted to come up with just a few things each that we really want to focus on as Reds fans, things that we hope to achieve, to strive for, to be the best Reds fans that we can be. So here we are.
It's our New Year's Resolutions, which you already know if you've read the title of this show. New Year's Resolutions.
Just fits.
What's that?
I said just fits, too. I was excited about that. Resolutions.
I know, right?
We're clever. We're fun. We're having fun.
We're laughing. We are laughing. I love Lamp. So, Nate, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We each pick three of our own New Year's resolutions as Reds fans. I encourage each of you, by the way, either in our Slack channel, if you're a Patreon, but at Riverfront Cincy or at Dotson C, at ncdotson32. Let us know what your New Year's resolutions are, actually, because this is a fun conversation to have, especially after you hear what we say. Nate, do you want to lead off with your first New Year's resolution?
Yeah, sure. I'll belly it off. So one thing that I want to do, as regular listeners know, I spent a lot of time living outside the country, just about 7 years. So my opportunities to watch the Reds play live have been pretty limited over the last decade plus. I am going to watch the Reds play in at least 4 different ballparks. There's obviously one that they play roughly 81 games in, depending on whether or not there's a Field of Dreams situation in the mix. I've got my eyes on a Boston series in May. We have a brother that recently moved there. There's a Baltimore series in June.
Hold on a second. They're playing in Boston again this year?
They are.
They're playing. Oh, dude, we are there. Yeah, we're recording a podcast from Fenway, man. So go ahead.
We're doing that. Baltimore series in June. That's just about a 3-hour drive from us here in Richmond, Virginia. And then I'm thinking if we can get him on the horn, we meet up with our buddy Carlos in July when the Padres come to town. That would involve some other crazy factors happening. And they also do play the Nationals in Washington this year, which is just about a 2-2.5-hour drive. So, or hour and a half, depending on Interstate 95 traffic. So that's my first resolution. I want to attend 4 Reds games, 4 different ballparks.
There you go. Right. Number of Reds games to be determined, but 4 different parks. That's aggressive. It's an aggressive resolution, Nate. I hope you reach it.
Going hard in the paint.
Yeah, I mean, we can certainly catch Nationals Park and Camden, you know, depending on how things go. But yeah, obviously, one of our brothers just moved to Boston. That would be a sweet one. And at that point, you've got 3, and then, well, we'll talk about the 4th one later. You know, I just found out not too long ago that I'm going to attend a professional conference. Professional podcasters. No, it's a different kind of professional conference, but it's in Kansas City. I've never been to Kansas City. I hear they have barbecue, and I hear they have baseball. I'm going to try them both. Unfortunately, the Reds will not be there, but that'll be a stadium I get to add to my list that I've been to. I love this idea of seeing the Reds in different stadiums. It's something I've tried to do since I've been boycotting the Reds, and good way to see new places. So good luck.
Are you going to wear your Mike Moustakas jersey to the Kansas City game?
Oh, well, you know, what's interesting is I have a home Moustakas jersey for the Reds and an away Moustakas jersey. I also have a Kansas City Royals Moustakas jersey in my collection. They're actually all framed on my wall because he's my favorite player. So I may have to pull one of them down to wear to that.
Only sold in triple XL. I'm sorry. That's the last. That's my last one. Yeah.
That's the last. You know what? Actually, we might need to pour one out because that was that may be the last Moustakas joke we ever make on this show. God bless you, Mike Moustakas. The Moose.
If you want more, just join us on the Slack channel at patreon.com/riverfront.
Exactly. My first New Year's resolution, Nate, is one that I'm very serious about and that you all will hear me working through week to week here on the show. And that's, let me just say it, then I'll explain what I'm talking about. I want to remember every single day why I fell in love with baseball back in the first place. You know, certainly the last 12 months of being a Reds fan, but even the last 30 years have been frustrating. This time last year, it started boiling over to the point where we orchestrated a billboard campaign. Thanks to all of you for joining on that. It was fun. But the Reds have been a little bit of a slog for a while. And the reason I first fell in love with baseball was not because the Reds were good. They weren't good when I first started watching the team. There are a lot of reasons why I'm a Reds fan. Some of it is family, you know, father, grandfather, you know, sort of introduced us to it. My grandfather specifically, who passed away when I was 9, but he was a Reds fan and a huge baseball fan. And that's the real reason I got into baseball. But there's been so many bad years over the last 30 years with the Reds. But the game sort of, I want to go off on a James Earl Jones rant here, you know. The game, you know, keeps, I wish I'd looked up that speech. But I love this sport. You know, I every year for a long time, I would watch the Ken Burns documentary during spring training just because I love the game. That's not Red specific. Ball Four. I used to read it every spring training. Jim Bouton's Ball Four. Still hilarious baseball book. I love Red's history. I wrote a book about it. I still am constantly writing about Red's history and thinking about Red's history. It's something that's part of all of us. I'm going to try to care less about the wins and losses on the field or the nonsense in the owner's box, because that's just, it does nothing but frustrate me. We're going to still tell you the truth about it here on the show. We'll never stop doing that. But I want to make a sincere, concerted effort to just remember that, hey, this game is fun. Okay. I love baseball. I love the sport. And yes, this version of the Reds is not going to be the best version of the Reds, but I like a lot of these players. And actually, this year's team is going to be, there'll be a lot of players I like with these young, controllable assets plus Will Myers and Joey Votto. And so so that's my New Year's resolution. I'm going to be intentional about it, about really trying to remember why I fell in love with baseball and with this franchise, because all that's still there. All that history is still there. And anyway, that's my first one, Nate. I'll let you hit your second one or comment on first mine, off, criticize mine.
No, I'm not going to criticize it at all. I love what you said. I love specifically that you did mention, hey, we're going to be honest. I think the positivity is going to be a focus here going forward, because you have to do something. Nobody wants to have a podcast where you hop on there once a week and, you know, feel sorry for yourself. This is not what this is. We have at least one more year of Joey Votto. We've got exciting, young, likable players, and it's still the greatest sport in the history of athletics. So yeah, we're gonna have a lot of fun this year.
And let me just say quickly, positivity, that's not a thing where nobody wants to listen to us. I don't care if anybody listens to us. We're not, you know, we've been doing it our way, whatever. I don't want to talk about the Reds. I love the Reds too much to get on here and just complain every week. For my mental health, I want to get in here and have some fun. And we always try to laugh about it, even when they're bad. But, yeah, there's fun things. While still telling you the truth, we can still continue to try to have fun. But there is some of that misery loves company thing where that's what the Patreon family's become, which is just – we can kind of commiserate over how bad they are while also coming together over the fact that we, for some reason, genuinely love this stupid franchise. So, anyway, back to you.
Yeah, so my next one is, we don't need to spend a lot of time on this, but I have decided that, as you did with the Reds losing 102 games, getting a tattoo, if the Reds lose 100 games, I'm going to put all of my money into the FC Cincinnati basket. I need to root for a Cincinnati team. I've got the Bengals, got the Reds. Why not one more? I'm going to go hard in the paint on FC Cincinnati. So this way, even if the Reds are having a brutal season as they're teaching the ropes to some of these young guys, I've got something else going on. I can root for it. I can be excited because, hey, in this negative, there is a giant positive. And it's FC Cincy. So,
Nate, you got the World Cup fever, don't you?
It happened a little bit. I loved going to a bar at whatever 10 a.m. to watch the U.S.'s last game and acting like I knew everything. It's like, man, I've been watching soccer my entire life. I can't believe he just passed it at that time. This is ridiculous. I was going nuts. But it was super fun, and I think that at least from a fan perspective, soccer's probably the best sport in the world. It's not the best sport, but just from a fan energy, enthusiasm perspective. So if the Reds are bad, then I will find the space in my heart of hearts for FC Cincy.
Yeah, we're not about to become an FC Cincy podcast. Although if we can find a good co-host, I may do a FC Cincy show here at the Riverfront Network with someone. So, but because FC Cincinnati, man, this past year was so much fun to watch. But I was talking with someone just last night, actually, and talking about, they're thinking about moving to the Cincinnati area. And we're just talking about how, you know, if you play it right, I guess you have to have, it depends on what your budget is, but and live in a certain area downtown, you can walk to the Bengals, you can walk to the Reds, you can walk to FC Cincinnati. And, you know, the Reds are garbage. FC Cincinnati until last year were not great, but passionate fan base and a really fun, if you've not been to a game, I've had more fun at FC Cincinnati games the last couple of years than I've had at Reds games in a long time. And of course the Bengals are, you know, the Bengals, the Riverfront Bengals show. Let's do it every week. Cause that team is fun, but, Cincinnati's in a pretty good place, in terms of professional sports, accessibility, better than they've been in a while. I just wish the Reds were better, but, there's something to be said for this, the Cincinnati as a professional sports town. And then if you're a Bearcats fan, you got that. If you're a Xavier fan, well, you know, good luck with that, because Xavier is the worst team in the Big East. Oh, no, never mind. That's my Georgetown Hoyas is the worst team in the Big East. So I like it, Nate. I like it. AFC Cincinnati.
What's your
co-host?
What's your number two? Oh, yeah.
My number two
in this team at Riverfront Cincy, if you're interested in co-hosting an FC Cincinnati podcast.
Team at Riverfront Cincy. My second one, Nate, and this is one that I gotta admit, Nate kind of pricked my brain a little bit to make me remember this is one that I need to add to my list, because this is one that it's very we've talked about it. Nate and I've talked about it back channel quite a bit, and we've done some of this on the show. But my second New Year's resolution is to do everything I can to support the Reggie Sanders for Reds Hall of Fame campaign. Okay. Now look, Reggie Sanders. Full disclosure, friend of the podcast. He's been on the show before and I would love to have him on again. And I think we can probably work that out. And I advocated it for him before and I failed. It's a complete joke that Reggie Sanders is not in the Reds Hall of Fame. As I've said many times here on the show, and you can laugh at me, whatever, but I'm the world's foremost authority on the Cincinnati Reds Hall of Fame. I care more about the Cincinnati Reds Hall of Fame than anyone on earth. Two things about that. Number one, why am I not on the Veterans Committee? Why haven't they asked me to do that? And number two, why isn't Reggie Sanders in the Reds Hall of Fame? Danny Graves got elected to the Reds Hall of Fame this year. Guess what? Danny Graves deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Bronson Arroyo deserves to be in the Reds Hall of Fame. I have no issue with that. Neither of those guys actually have a better candidacy than Reggie Sanders. And so anyway, I think that this is me and old man yelling at the clouds, but I intend to use this little tiny platform we've got here to be all Reggie Sanders all the time. So in 2023, every show is going to begin with a 30-minute rant about Reggie Sanders. And then we'll get into the news of the week. Are you okay with that, Nate?
I love it. I love it. I support this. If we need to get another billboard going, we can do it. I mean, the guy has 35 more wins above replacement than Danny Graves.
That's not to say Danny Graves. Yes.
Not a slide on Danny Graves.
I'm getting excited again.
A light on the just appalling fact that Reggie Sanders isn't in. It makes no sense. So, yeah, Riverfront listeners, friends, colleagues, loved ones, get ready to get annoyed by Chad and I tooting the horn, if you will, for be carrying all the Reggie Sanders water. Hopefully getting back in the podcast.
Well, and again, let me just clarify. He was on the podcast, and so I appreciate that. But I first wrote about him at Red League Nation and for Cincinnati Magazine about why he should be in the Hall of Fame way before I'd ever met him. And I say I met him as if we're close friends.
It's objectively true. It's objectively true that he should be in the Hall.
I'm excited about
that. That we do have some inside information that the powers that be are familiar with our philanthropical efforts. So perhaps another billboard might. Maybe we don't put our logo on. Maybe we get somebody else to sponsor. Leave it unrepresented. But
yeah,
just a thought.
We have some reason to believe that the current sentiment about the Riverfront within the Reds front office may not be at its highest level ever. So maybe we leave the logo.
Let me rephrase that. Reggie, do not come on this podcast. Go talk to Jim Day.
Yeah, we will hurt your chances.
We'll retweet it.
Right. Oh, man. Reggie Sanders. Nate, what's your third New Year's resolution?
So my third, and it's going to be my final one for the evening, and it's probably the one that I'm most excited about. So you've had this boycott going, right?
True.
I have not.
You have not.
Now, I haven't been to a game in quite some time. That's because of life happens, not because I've been to Reds games. I just haven't been to Great American Ballpark recently. I do not have a boycott. I intend to go soon. So not only am I going to go soon, I'm going to go this year. It's Joey Votto's last year, first and foremost, right? But more importantly, I want to complete something that I am trying to find a name for. And it's the Great American Ballpark checklist, bucket list. I don't know yet. I need some help from Twitter and the podcast universe. But I'm thinking it starts like this. In one sitting, one game, I need to have a Skyline Chili Cheese Coney, a La Rosa's Pizza, Sky Rosa, that counts. That's two boxes. I need peanuts. I need Cracker Jack, and I'm thinking two local adult beverages.
Oh, my goodness, Nate. And then boom. Are you sure?
That's it. And I, you know, listen, if you're out there at Riverfront Cincy, team at Riverfront Cincy, let me know how we can perfect this list, because I want to have the ultimate GABP, Great American Ballpark experience bucket list, and I need to know exactly what that is. But I'm doing it this year. You heard it here first.
Well, I like the overall thought there, which is let's come up with the way to experience. What do you have to do? If you're a real Reds fan, what do you have to do at Great American Ballpark to make it the perfect experience or the ultimate experience? I'm not sure I could do La Rosa's and Skyline at the same time. Although I'll tell you, I'm a Coney guy, man. I can't go to Great American Ballpark without a Coney. But yeah,
bonus points for surviving the heart attack.
It's true, but yeah, what are the precise beverages? You know, in 1971, it would be a Hudepol. You know, is that still what it is? I don't know. So let's have that conversation.
I look back fondly on lemon chills and frosty malts, but I'm not sure they're still around.
Right.
So we definitely need some inside info from people that have been to the ballpark recently. Hit me up. Let's create this perfect list.
I'm doing it. I love it. It's fantastic. We need to figure that out, and then we can all get behind that. Let me give you my last New Year's resolution here, Nate. And this is an important one for me, and it kind of plays right along with what you just said. But I have not, as you mentioned, I've been boycotting, not the Reds, because I've seen the Reds at other stadiums, and I watch them on TV all the time. But I've been boycotting Castellini. And I don't want to give Bob Castellini or the Castellini family any more of my money than I have to until they are gone. And so I've been very diligent. I haven't been to Great American Ballpark since 2019. The last time I didn't go to a game in Cincinnati before 2019 was probably 88, not the 88. I mean, you know, I built my life around the Reds in some ways. And so it was a big, whether people roll their eyes when I talk about this boycott or not, and I know a lot of people do. That's fine. I don't care because it's just stupid and meaningless, and I never really encouraged anyone to join me. I've been like, this is my thing. If you want to join, fine, do it. And some people have joined the boycott. I'm going to break my Great American Ballpark boycott this year. This is my New Year's resolution.
You did not put this in the show notes, sir.
I'm going to break it for one reason. I need to watch Joey Votto play at Great American Ballpark in what might be his final season in Cincinnati. Joey Votto is more important than Bob Castellini and Phil Castellini. And I may go back to the boycott, but I absolutely will break the boycott. And so what we need to do, Nate, and we need to start the planning on this now. There are a couple places that I've kind of talked to about maybe doing a live show in Cincinnati. Maybe we need to find a place to have a live podcast and officially break the boycott at some point and have the Riverfront family come and let's make a big deal of it. So this is another thing I want y'all to talk amongst yourselves, as they say. Let's start this conversation about how to break this boycott. It's going to be a one-time thing. Maybe not one time, maybe more than one time. But after this season, it's going back into effect if the Castellanos are still involved. But I can't. It's Joey Votto, and he's a generational talent. We may never see anyone. Well, no one ever see anyone like him again. You know, maybe we may see a player as good as Joey Votto. I hope in Cincinnati we'll never see a personality like Joey Votto again in Cincinnati. Just he's an international treasure, and so That's my last New Year's resolution, Nate. I'm gonna break my boycott this year.
This is some big news. This is a magical moment. I'm glad I got to share this with you.
Breaking.
I kind of buried the lead a little bit earlier, but I think that Padres series, maybe we can get Carlos to join from Texas. That makes a lot of sense. We have a post-podcast conversation to have about how we plan around this. It's not like I've got anything going on next year, hashtag wedding.
we're not going to do it in March. Anyway,
I'm excited. We will come live from Alexis Diaz's home, Puerto Rico, in March. But I'm excited about this. There could not possibly be a better reason to get back inside those gates than watch Joey Votto, because we don't know this. We have no idea what the future holds, but there is at least a reasonable chance this is the last season he will wear a Reds uniform. And he's certainly been the greatest Red of my lifetime. And we can't let that pass.
Yeah, so let's start the planning process now. We've got plenty of time to do this planning. Toss us your thoughts, whatever. But let's have a Riverfront weekend in Cincinnati and figure out how to do this right. So, and plenty of time for those of you that are out of town to make your plans to be there. I'm looking at you, Joey Gaditza, in Canada, and
Calvin. Is Calvin going to make it over?
Calvin, when are you going to be here from? From the United Kingdom. We got to get the Riverfront family together. So let's start planning that, Nate.
I love it. I can't wait. Also, please, I want to encourage anybody listening here that has Twitter, first delete it. But if you don't delete it, tweet at us at Riverfront Cincy and let us know your New Year's resolutions. I had a lot of fun just thinking about this. And have a few more that didn't make the cut, but we can do that online. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, I was going to say, go ahead and give me your others, but we're 52 minutes in here. Nate, we literally before we started recording, we're like, you said something to the effect of, if we're still talking about the Reds after an hour, what is there to talk about? And every time this is what happens, we get on a roll. So let's get through. We only had a couple of viewer mail questions that we needed to get to. So let's get to those quickly. But before we do that, Nate, we got a new member of the Patreon Riverfront family.
Woo!
Ricky Epperly. First of all, that's a grade A name. Ricky Epperly.
Oh my gosh.
Ricky Epperly joined the family, actually not this week, but last week, and it was holiday week, and I apologize, Ricky, that we didn't, last week we didn't get to give the shout out. I wanted to wait till this week because when we went quote unquote live again. But Ricky, thank you so much for joining the family. Now, as is our custom, when you join the Riverfront family, you are assigned a position on the Riverfront Beer League softball team. There's only one answer here, Nate. We haven't talked about this before, so I want to see what you say first, but I think there's only one answer. What position does Ricky Epperly play for the Reds or for the Beer League softball team? Who do you think there's two? Let's hear what you got.
The first answer is I suddenly feel inspired to start a Riverfront NASCAR league because Ricky Epperly sounds like the best driver in the country.
Solid.
But in absence of that, Beer League implies some slow pitching, but I think Ricky Epperly is bringing the heat. He's on the mound for sure.
He's a closer. Am I right? Is he?
Listen, Ricky, he's the kind of guy that your team loves him, but other teams might not so much.
Ricky Wild Thing Epperly. Yeah, that's his new nickname. On the Reds Beer League or Riverfront Beer League softball too. Oh, I love it. Ricky, man, hey, thank you so much. Really appreciate you joining us. And look forward to getting to know you in the coming weeks and months at the Slack, on our Slack channel, but love having you as part of this ridiculous family.
Apologies to Ricky for being a Reds fan, but we'll get through this together.
Misery loves company, Ricky. Also, Ricky Epperly is a serious NASCAR driver name. And I've never seen Ricky, but I'm imagining, I shouldn't say this out loud probably, but I'm imagining a mullet.
Ooh, I was going mustache.
Oh, mustache and a mullet. I can say that though, Ricky, because my son, my large teenage son, who refuses to cut his hair, has a mullet because he thinks it makes him, I don't know why he does it, but I have
He's the Samson of his generation.
Yeah, something like that. He has a basketball game tonight. We got to get finished here so I can go to his basketball game because I do. I do love. I love my son. All right. So next, our question comes from Jerry Seduth. Jerry's question is this: Zips, has Spencer Steer projected as the Reds' best position player? Now, Zips, first of all, it's if you go to Fangraphs.com, you can find the Zips. It's a projection system by actually a really good guy and sort of a friend of the podcast. We need to have him on, actually, but it's Dan Zimborski is his name. Good follow on the Twitters, but he does this projection system. It's really good. The Reds' projections this year has spent his projections have Spencer Steer. Good Lord, I can't even talk. Projected as the Reds' best position player. Jerry says, I think he'll do fine, but I don't think he'd be the best on a team with a healthy, fingers crossed, Tyler Stevenson. Am I underrating Spencer Steer? And I'm looking now at the Zips projections for Spencer Steer. 25 years old this year, and they project him essentially. Well, I had it here. Where is it? Good grief. There we go. 246 batting average. Not great, but 324 on base, 432 slugging, 98 OPS plus. So if you look at my OPS plus, he's not actually the best hitter. But in terms of WAR, they have him projected at 1.9 wins above replacement. And they project that as the best wins above replacement on the Reds for 2023. I do not think Spencer Steer is going to be the Reds' best position player. I do think he'll be fine. I think the Zips projections with respect to Tyler Stevenson have some issues because of playing time. And I think that if Tyler Stevenson is healthy, he's going to way outpace those projections. But I think Spencer Steer is going to be good. I'm looking forward to watching him. I think he's a good player. No, he's not going to be the Reds' best position player. It's either going to be Tyler Stevenson or Joey Votto. Nate?
I am pro Spencer Steer. Big fan. The Reds need three Spencer Steers to fill out this roster. But you are smoking something if you think he is going to have a better year than Tyler Stevenson. You need to holler at your boy Dan. Reprimand him verbally. Maybe if you see him in person, give him a good shaking. You know, we don't support physical assault. We're not Tommy Pham. But just a good firm shaking to let him know this is not okay. No, that's ridiculous. I don't think he'll finish in the top four. These projections did come out before the Reds signed Will Myers. So
there you go. I don't know
if you've heard the GOAT.
I actually think the Zips projections are generally pretty good, but yeah, I don't see it happening. Next comes from, again, we've already mentioned him once, but Joey Gaditza. Joey says, gentlemen, an early prediction. Will Myers will be more productive than Tommy Pham was. Before he gets traded at some point, he'll hit 279 with 22 long balls and 71 ribs. Sound good, or has the cold weather here really messed with my judgment? My favorite thing about our Riverfront Slack channel is Joey giving us a daily update on what the wind chill factor is in Canada. Yikes! Terrifying. I guess yes, he'll be more productive than Pham was. I think that's I'm 97% sure he'll be more productive than Pham was. Now, some of that is because Pham was so awful early that it depressed his overall numbers. He was cromulent afterwards, but I'm all in on Will Myers. I've decided this is going to become a Will Myers / Reggie Sanders focused podcast.
If Will Myers puts up the numbers that Joey Gaditza has predicted there, then he will be way better than Tommy Pham. 279 with 22 long balls and 71 ribbies. You're getting Brandon Drury territory right there, my friend.
The Brandon Reds Drury legend project.
Brandon Drury. No, I think that the cold weather has probably messed with your head, but not necessarily at this juncture. No.
Will Myers, yeah, no.
I'm excited.
Absolutely. Will Myers, we love you. Last question, and then we'll wrap up. Here comes our friend Hooper Powell. Hooper Powell from Columbus, Ohio. What day are we meeting at the Holy Grail to watch a game? Also, who's going to have the better ERA, Nick Lodolo or Hunter Green? Well, look, maybe we meet at the Holy Grail to have a live podcast and then go over to the game. I don't know. We'll see. We'll figure that out. Better ERA, Nick Lodolo or Hunter Green? It could be either. I'm going with Nick Lodolo, a little older, a little bit more polished, but I would not be surprised to see either of them. I'm excited for both. Nate?
I agree completely with your ERA assessment. I will say Green because you picked Lodolo, and I would have done that had you sent it over to me first. So now I have to be a dissenter. I do want to argue that, or at least present an argument for watching a game at the Holy Grail the day after we watch a game at Great American Ballpark, because I have learned about myself, if I have too many adult beverages, I have a very difficult time speaking. My brain doesn't work the same speed. And if I'm completing this Great American Ballpark bucket list challenge, I might not be up for a podcast the next day. So we'll have to work out the logistics, Hooper.
All right.
We'll make it happen.
We'll figure that out. That's going to be part of our bucket list weekend for the Riverfront this year. All right, Nate, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Nah, it's super fun. I am starting to get really excited for this next season, and optimism will abound.
We did it. It's the last week of the year in a season that the Reds lost 100 games, and we still figured out how to talk about the Reds for an hour. We are completely and utterly just insane. Thanks to everyone for listening and supporting the Riverfront. Please remember to subscribe to the show either on YouTube or in your favorite podcast app. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We're at Riverfront Cincy on all those platforms. That's at Riverfront Cincy. And a huge thank you to our supporters at patreon.com/Riverfront Cincy. This show would literally not be possible without the support of our Patreon family. And as always, we'd love for you to join in our hijinks. Just go to patreon.com/Riverfront Cincy or click the link in the show notes. For Nate Dotson and Willie Green, this is Chad Dotson saying, so long, everyone.